All right, you guessed it. This is a very special bonus episode of the Dan Time Podcast for your July 4th listening pleasure. Jim, thanks for being here. How are you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm great, Danimal. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to watching some fireworks, drinking some cold snacks, and eating some ribs. And God bless America. Proud to be an American. Lee Greenwood.
I love it.
Yeah.
You are a great American, Jim, and my apologies to anyone listening who has appeared on the show twice or three times. I don't know if we have a three-time guest.
Three-timers
Jim
club.
Yep. Shooting well ahead here.
Boom.
Jim, how many times, I don't know if you get out for the holiday sales, the Lowe's, the Home Depot, any of the big box stuff, if you get out on July 4th, how many times in your adult life, approximately, have you said either the oops, sorry, or the no, you're good when you're at an intersection with another shopping cart, you're about to run into someone, you're crossing an aisle out to the main aisle, and the no, you're good. Are they really good? Are we happy about that? I'm not happy. They're not happy, but you have to say something.
Yeah, and, like with everything nowadays, informality and just hustle and bustle, everybody even seems more put out when you're shopping at the same time as them or, on an aisle at the same time as them. Or they're just indifferent and in their own world. Like, somebody standing there with their shopping cart in the middle of a Publix aisle, which are the smallest, tiniest aisles on purpose, I guess. And, you're just literally standing in front of them, clearing your throat, or even have to kind of bang into their cart, and they still don't, acquiesce and get out of your way. I mean, what's up with that? Kills me. And, yes, a million times I've probably said, excuse me, or you're good, or pardon me. Don't really say pardon me very much anymore, I guess, but.
No, you're good.
My bad.
Jim, do you think that the higher-ups at Dollar General are acutely aware of the claustrophobic nature of their aisles, their stores, the hoarding atmosphere of that experience? What do you think when you see a new Dollar General popping up when you're traveling for work and you're like, oh, of course, I'm in this small town.
Yeah.
There wasn't one here last year. What are your thoughts on the Dollar General experience? And my apologies to any associates, because I shop at these stores. I love the people, the front-facing employees of Dollar General, but I have some problems with
the business model.
Yeah.
I mean, these Dollar Generals are obviously, bare bones, especially when it comes to staffing, and I'm sure the higher-ups are happy about that because they got to pay less money to people to staff the store. I guess, you got to worry about theft and whatnot in a place like that. I guess they're not too worried about theft, but I don't know. If I see a new Dollar General popping up in my neighborhood, I'm dusting off the for sale sign from my house. I'm just kidding, Dollar General. You're great. You could be a one-time sponsor of the Dan Time Podcast. And this could be, the lost episode because we dog out Dollar General. But, I honestly, Danimal, I try to avoid Dollar Generals just because it is so hard to check out, especially if the self-checkout register is broken. And you have to hunt down.
Which they all are.
Always.
Location.
Yep. So.
How do you do, Jim, when you're at, I really don't want to just pick on one store here, but we're on Dollar General. We got to keep talking about it. When you are in a 5, 6, maybe 7 deep line in Dollar General, and we all know that they don't care to play any music. There's just that stillness of the Dollar General air and the tents. Standing, waiting to approach the register. How do you handle these moments? Are you looking around in every direction? Are you looking straight ahead with a fixed, determined, maybe even angry?
Showing a little bit of anger, but you don't want to let it take it out on the poor, folks working there. I mean, I'll look at my phone, of course, like everybody does, but. Honestly, Dan, I have kind of a two-person max rule when it comes to the Dollar Generals, Family Dollars, fast food that's not Chick-fil-A. If there's more than two or three people in line, I'm just going to turn around and go somewhere else. I mean, there's, if there's two people in line at Burger King, you're in for a 30-minute wait. Boy, you're not going to have advertisers jumping on this thing. But I love Burger King, but my goodness, if I pull up to the drive-thru and there's one car at the window, I don't even try because, I guess they have to source the beef from a cow in the back or something. It's just amazing.
Is that right?
Yeah, how long that some of this stuff can take. So, roundabout way to answer your question, yeah, if I'm in line at DG and there's more than three people in front of me, I probably leave. But if there are two and I'm waiting on an associate there to ring me up, I probably, kind of stare wistfully out the windows and look at the blue sky and think, I wish I was outside and not in Dollar General, and anything to take my mind off of the rage bubbling up inside of me about having to wait on this lady to pay with a check. And it's taken way too long to get my Reese's cups and a Diet Pepsi.
Well, they are expanding rapidly, and they're competing with local Walmarts. I'm sure everyone knows where you've got a new Dollar General that's just been built in your neighborhood. It's close to a big box shopping store. It's only a matter of time before they look great when they're going up, and then give it a couple weeks, kind of like a new gas station.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever wonder when you see a new brand new gas station going up, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to go check it out and see what kind of products and
you know what you really think, Dan, is I can't wait to go use that bathroom. You know what you really think. Don't talk about sausages spinning. You're thinking about how clean that bathroom's going to be.
Well, I'm glad you asked mentioned that, because I had to ask you, when you're on the road, and I know your policy, Hampton Inn, or you have restrooms that you stop.
Yes.
That you hold firm to.
Firm, yep.
You have the places that you like, mm-hmm. and you have the places that you don't like. But, mm-hmm. Jim, you're human. You have to occasionally find yourself at some little Chevron, and you got to get the key to go around back.
Oh,
and you go into that restroom. Jim, how do you handle the situation when you go in there and, okay, you're in and out. It's not a sit down, but you get up to wash your hands.
Yep.
Number one, there's no hot water, so there's only cold water. Okay, we can deal with that. You pump the soap dispenser, and it's just
air
bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Those white bubbles that just kind of, it's been empty for a long time. You're like, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to soap my hand. Oh, wait a second. There's a soft soap that they've placed here.
Putting a new bag in, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Some soft soap. Nope. They have filled up the tiny remaining amount of soap in there with water.
Why is that universal?
Once you get married, you realize that this is something. I don't know if it's what the ladies do or what maybe some men do this as well. My wife likes to extend the life of a lot of soft soap bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Does Kelly do this?
Sometimes a little bit. I'm more of the soap filler in our house. I like to think that if something ever happened to me, or if I was gone for more than a week, I would come home to just, everything being empty and strewn about.
I like the full strength of the soap as it was designed to be. I do not like to pour water in it and get a little more life out of it.
shake it around a little bit.
So anyway, we're still in this bathroom, Jim.
Yes, Dad.
And that soft soap thing is just, it's water.
Yeah.
It's useless.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. I need to dry my hands off now. So you start pumping the dispenser, mm-hmm. and it's just, you're pulling the lever. There's nothing there.
Ugh.
You're like, okay, whatever. And then you just notice, oh, hey, there's a World Dryer Corporation wall-mounted dryer. You pump that thing. It's not working. So now you got to wipe your hands on your pants. Once you do that, Jim, you realize that while you've been in there, you've touched something that has left some film on your fingers.
Oh.
How is this situation going over with you? Are you just getting out of there and dealing with it, or have I asked a question that would actually never happen to you because you don't go to these places?
It would be a B of the A and B options there. I just don't go. I find any reason possible to... If it has to be a gas station, as you said, I got real good at when I was in sales of finding the best places on the road to use a restroom and have a clean, comfortable experience. So if I had to go somewhere that was a gas station, it would be a newer Circle K or you know, a Mapco. Mapcos are great. But yeah, I would avoid your mom and pop Chevrons, independent gas stations, just because God bless those people. You know, if they don't have money to refill a soft soap properly, they don't, you know, they don't get to have my business. So I guess it would be B, like I said. But lots of great hacks for folks out there that are on the road. You know, Hobby Lobby bathrooms, Publix bathrooms. As Dan said, hotel bathrooms. You just walk in like you're staying there. When has a hotel concierge at a Hampton Inn ever stopped you and said, excuse me, sir, what's your room number when you're walking? No, I mean, you can get, you know, free breakfast, cup of coffee. You just walk in with your head held high, you know, give a little to the person behind the counter there, and you can, you know, do whatever you want pretty much. This is definitely not going to go to air, is it? Because we're just giving away all the secrets and dogging out all the places. But
I think I've lost any hope of Dollar General ever sponsoring anything I do in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I shop at, going back to Dollar General, I don't want to knock on them completely. I just, the aisles are tight. You know that they've got this down to a fraction of an inch of how they design the layout of these stores. And all the sundry items, the impulse items, a lot of their revenue's got to come from impulse purchases, because there's display after display. I mean, they weave you, well, a lot of stores, a lot of retail places will weave you to the cash register and make you go past quite a number of impulse purchase items.
Yeah.
Jim, I don't know what we're doing here. This is the July 4th episode. We're talking about just garbage questions, but that's on me. I got to ask you, Jim.
Yes.
If you had a chance to go back in time, to step into a time machine today and go back in the clothes that you're wearing, 2024 clothing, it might be a t-shirt or shorts or whatever, and you can go back and be dropped into a major metro area in the 20th century. So you got three choices. Go back to 1994, 1984, or 1974. You got an hour. You're going to be in Birmingham or Atlanta or Chicago or somewhere for an hour, just kind of milling around. People are going to notice you. They're going to say, that guy's, I mean, some people will keep walking, some, but which of those years would you go spend an hour in what you're wearing right now and just walking around downtown?
So on July 4th in 74, 84, or 94?
Yeah, you might just find yourself in the middle of a parade. There's lots of people. There's lots of other things going on, so you're just one guy. But you're definitely not wearing the clothes of the day.
Yeah. Well, I would have to go Chicago, 1984, July 4th, because the Cubs were in the middle of a pretty good season then, right? And I'd run, depending on where I got dropped off in my I'm actually wearing a Speedo right now because we're going swimming after this. Yeah, well, not a bikini, a mankini, so I'm wearing a Speedo. So that would be kind of awkward. Hopefully, I would still have my shirt on, but I would, you know, run as fast as I could in my flip-floppies to Wrigley Field and try to buy a ticket and, you know, watch about, depending on where I was dropped. Could I be dropped at Wrigley Field in 1984, July 4th?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then, that would be good. So then I'd have about, you know, 50 minutes, hopefully go get an old style and a hot dog and watch, you know, Ryan Sandberg and the Hawk and all those guys. Who would be pitching that day, you think? Sutcliffe?
Probably Sut.
Yeah, old Sut would be on the bump. And
July 4th, 1984, the Cubs were playing at San Diego Padres.
No!
This would actually be the NLCS of that year.
Would end up being Cubs that. Oh, wow. That's a matchup right there.
Cubs win the game 2-1.
That's right.
And guess who the winning pitcher was?
Rick Sutcliffe.
Was it Rick Sutcliffe?
I love it. Well, then in that case, could I change it and be dropped in San Diego? Because I'd fit in a lot better with my Speedo, too. Otherwise, I'd just look like a wacko at Wrigley Field trying to buy a ticket to a game that's not happening.
Lee Smith with the save.
You know it.
Rick Sutcliffe helping out with his bat as well. He hits a double in that game.
Look at that. There you go, Sut.
Cubs are 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position.
But sounds like this year.
Low-scoring game.
Yeah. Who took – was Steve Garvey still playing for the Padres then? That's the only one I can – or Bip Roberts. I remember Bip Roberts on the Padres. Tony Gwynn. What am I thinking? Tony Gwynn. Come on. I'm just naming Padres now. This is riveting podcasting for people out there, I'm sure.
Padres.
Benito Santiago. Sorry, that's the last one. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn. He's hitting second that day.
What's his BA at that time?
Salazar.
Oh, yes.
Salazar comes in as a pinch. I'm looking at the box score. Comes in as a pinch runner, future Cub.
Mm-hmm. Harry Carey favorite. Harry loved to say Salazar.
52,000 people in attendance that day. Game lasted 2.5 hours. I don't know why they're trying to speed up the game. That sounds like a pretty...
That's a good run. Well, they're trying to get it back to what it was back then prior to guys stepping out of the box to adjust their gloves after every pitch. And I think they've done well with the pitch clock.
Jim, I know you're probably checking out a little bit of the season, but do you think there's any hope that we go on a, say, an 11-12 game winning streak out of nowhere in the middle of August?
Gosh, I don't think 11 or 12 games, no way. But baseball's streaky. I could see us winning 6, 7, 8 maybe. And, you know, I think the NL Central's – it may be a little bit out of reach. I mean, it is July now. I mean, we're close. We're getting real close to the All-Star break. So, I think 6, 7, 8 games. And I haven't given up on the wild card yet. But, yeah, the Cubs have been a pretty big disappointment, especially with – I think Council's been a huge disappointment. I think we have talent. What do you think? Don't you think the Cubs are pretty talented for the rest of the division and even in the National League? I know they're pretty far behind the Braves and Phillies and stuff, but I don't know. I've kind of written the rest of this season off.
I liked this on paper, and I think a few episodes, a few months ago, around the start of the year, maybe it was me and you, I said, I think we're going to get the second wild card.
Yes, yeah.
Felt pretty good about it, but, you know, and people forget, and I listen to Cubs podcasts, and I get what they're saying, and it has been a very frustrating year. But let's face it, this is a pitcher's game.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, I mean, there are some teams and some players, as always, putting up some big offensive numbers, but it's just Major League Baseball is as challenging as it has ever been for an offensive unit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we just can't score runs. It's a bummer. But, hey, we're 2 months closer to football season. I think college football kicks off in 2 months from this Saturday, or 7 weeks from this Saturday.
Wow.
Yep.
Jim, we'll maybe talk a little sports later, but I want to ask you a question I don't think I got to on any of the other episodes. Being what they call a girl dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a daughter. We know your daughter, I think, is 11. Mm-hmm. Just turned.
Got it.
11. What's it like being a girl dad at all the different stages when Ever was 2 and when she was 5 and when she was 8? And now is it – what's some of the most fun stuff that you get to experience and maybe some of the challenging things?
Oh, man, that is a phenomenal question. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, our buddy Chuch told me when I told him what we were going to have or that we were having a daughter, he was like, man, you'll love it. Girls rule. And that's true. Girls do rule. I've said that ever since. I mean, she's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And, you know, she's just awesome. And, I mean, everything about it. You know, we used to go for hikes, not so much anymore, but, you know, just going for hikes, we'd build fairy houses with little pieces of wood and sticks. That was when she was really small. Really enjoyed as she's grown, seeing her sense of humor come out. To Kelly's dismay, I think I've really instilled a lot of my humor in Ever, so I love to see that and her laughing at stuff that I think is funny also is just really cool once, you know, you get to have something in common is really neat as they age. And she's always open to doing, you know, if I'm like, hey, let's go do this, she's usually pretty open to it, be it, you know, taking our dog to the dog park or, you know, riding along with me if I have to do something for Kelly or for her mom or doing errands. She's always open to it. She's a great, like, wingman for me. So just couldn't ask for more. And she's into volleyball, which is great for me because I love the sports, but she's also into twirling and, you know, just anything she does, she seems to – if she practices, it's hard as an only child to understand that you're not going to be great at everything because you get so much praise from your parents. So if she practices at stuff, she usually gets to be pretty good at it. So it's good to see her succeed in just about anything. So, yeah, girls are great, man. I wouldn't ask for anything else. I wish we could have had a couple more of them.
Jim, are there times where she realizes, I mean, you're a funny guy. I've always known that. But as we get a little bit older and things get a little heavier in life and there's stuff that we got to deal with and sit on for a while, for a day or a week, and we just, you know, it's not as carefree. Can't cut loose every time you want. You can't break into dance or song. But does Ever... I feel like Ever probably recognizes the kind of dad that she has and maybe keeps you in check. Does she ever try to bring that silly side out of you when you're getting a little too serious? You know, if you didn't have her with you that particular day, you might not goof around the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that happen?
Yeah, for sure. You know, like we're talking about being in a Dollar General and being frustrated about something is really when you look at it through a child's eyes or think about what's really important, you know, having to wait 5 extra minutes to check out, you know, she helps bring perspective to stuff like that. Anytime I get a little frustrated or overly bummed out about something, I can always look at her and just be like, well, it's worth it, you know, depending on what it is. The, you know, work's, you know, tougher one day and you just think, well, it's worth it because, you know, her and Kelly will be there when I get home and we'll get to have dinner or watch TV or watch a movie or something together. So yeah, absolutely. Having kids or having a child definitely brings some levity to your life if you can stop and breathe just with anything. Anytime you get overly worried about something, you can think that, you know, most of the time you get this kid at home or kids at home that, you know, love you unconditionally and are just, man, they're awesome. How funny was that? Do you think people are just yucking it up in the car right now, having to pull over because they're laughing so hard?
Well, it's important to cover some of this stuff. Ever is especially lucky to have you and to have Kelly.
Yeah.
I know things that maybe she's not quite old enough. Maybe she is. Some of the pressures that are in kids' lives now that, I mean, we had them when we were that age, but not really what they're dealing with.
Sure.
Have you seen anything yet that Ever has experienced that mom has been difficult for her that, or you've had to ask her, hey, what's wrong? You seem like something's bothering you. Do you have to try to get stuff out of her, or is she still in that kid stage?
She's mostly still in the kid stage. I mean, you know, everybody dreads middle school, you know, just because that is such a hard time for everybody, no matter who you are, just with the changes you go through mentally and especially physically. You know, I come from a family of communicators. Kelly does not, you know, if there's ever something wrong in the Powell household, you'd know about it. You wouldn't have to beat around the bush and say, what's wrong? We would let you know. So I've always felt that that's the best policy. Usually if there's something going on, she'll tell me. But there is a lot of stuff that I think she's more comfortable telling her mom. And that might be because depending on what it is, I can be a little nonchalant or just don't understand and can't sympathize. You know, I'm just like, well, who cares? Just let it roll off your back. Whereas, you know, her mom understands how important some things can be. So, yeah, I think it's been hard. And it, like I said, middle school is probably going to be really tough. But I think we prepared her to understand that, you know, because this girl doesn't talk to you this one day, it's not the end of the world. She's very good also at letting things roll off her back, like Kelly, like her mom, whereas I was always overly concerned with wanting everyone to like me, you know, which is a terrible way to be sometimes. Everybody's not going to like you, so you got to understand that. But everybody should like me. Right, Ever?
They really should. They really should.
Yeah. Thank you,
Dan. Wow. Is she right there?
Yeah, she's sitting here, and she just listened to me brag on her, so I'm going to send her away from the room when I talk bad about her.
Jim, I was thinking about this because, you know, we talked about doing this call. Maybe it's only been a couple days ago. I said, hey, what do you think about doing a bonus episode?
Yeah.
I don't think I've mentioned on the show before that Kelly's maiden name is Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a big slap in the face to me, me giving myself a slap in the face, thinking, why have I not had Jim's wife on the show, who I consider a dear friend, dear old friend as well. I want to recognize the fact that not only are we longtime friends, you and I, Jim, but there is a connection there, a Dan time relevancy with your better half, Kelly.
My wife.
Kelly Daniel Powell.
That's right. Hey, she would love to, you know, she likes to talk. So if you're trying angling for her to be on Dan time at some point, she would love to be on, I'm sure.
Jim, I think you're man enough to be all right with this, but I'm kind of scared that she might actually be a better guest than you.
I was going to let her listen to this in the car, but now I've changed my mind. No, absolutely not. I mean, but in all seriousness, probably yes. She's definitely my better half and is a lot more fun at parties. It's always a lot livelier when she's with me than when she's not. So I could definitely see that being the case. And she's got that Kelly sweet southern twang, so it would be a lot easier on the eardrums for your listeners than my raspy voice.
This is completely on me, but Jim and people listening, Jim's wife, Kelly, is just one of the best people that you'd want to be around.
Oh, my God. Now you've gone too far.
In really any situation. Now, I'm not married to her, so I've never seen her, maybe her side where she's
exactly
happy with some things that you've done around the house.
Exactly.
Because I'm sure she has no problem sharing her opinion with you.
Mm-mm.
But just a wonderful person. I think she would make an excellent guest, so we'll try to get that lined up.
There you go.
We committed to a time period here, Jim, and we're running very close. I want to make sure we cover something that I know the Day and Time listeners are hopefully would be interested in hearing more about.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I understand your dad he's still out there taking his drives, enjoying the scenery, documenting what he sees, and relaying a lot of that information to you and your siblings. Is there any recent dad drive itineraries that you'd like to share?
Yes, I would love to. So Dan gave a pretty great explanation of what this is, but weekly my dad, who was a pastor forever and was always a remote pastor, so he and my mom would drive usually at least 45 minutes to his church that he would pastor at every Sunday. No matter where he was, it was always far away. I don't know why he couldn't just have a church in the same town he lived in, but from Mississippi in the 60s, Birmingham in the 80s and 90s, Lubbock in the 2000s, he would commute. So since my mom's passed and he's not a pastor anymore, to fill his time as a retiree on Saturdays or Sundays, he just gets in his car and drives away from his apartment without any real idea of where he's going. He has all of his faculties, but he just loves to go out and drive around. This is one of his ways to entertain himself. So after he does this, he then comes home and succinctly puts it into an email to me and my brother and sister to tell us what he did. So this is going to be super riveting. So if Dan's asked me to read this, this is what I get every Saturday or Sunday. So he says, after his lunch, he played some Spider Solitaire and read for a while. Then I started out for my jaunt just before 2 and headed south on 87 through Tahoka and O'Donnell down to La Mesa. I find it hard to believe that your mom and I did that drive every week for 2 years. There I turned northwest on 137 up to Welch, where I turned due west on 83 through Loop and over to Seagraves, which is about 65 miles from Lubbock. That's another drive we did weekly for 2 years, except some weeks we went twice. At Seagrave, I turned north on 62/385 through Wellman and up to Brownfield. There I continued on 62, but also picked up 82 and 385 peeled off northwest up to Leveland. From Brownfield, I went through Meadow and Ropesville back to Lubbock and home. So that's just, you know, this guy loves to drive, and that's just one of his weekly emails about where he drove. and the numbers in the towns and the interstate or highways that he took to get to those places. Just riveting stuff. I don't know why you'd want me to read that on your podcast, but there you go.
What do you think it is about the drives that it's so special to your dad?
I mean, like I said, it's,
it must be like some nostalgia and the memories come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you heard it in that I read. He mentions a couple times they were drives that him and my mom took to those remote churches. So obviously that's a big part of it. But they're not always drives that, you know, link up with churches they were at. They can just be random. Me and Ever a couple times just mapped them out. But anyway, to answer your question, yeah, I think it's definitely nostalgia. You know, he's very, very hard of hearing, so he doesn't even listen to anything when he's in the car except for the wind blowing over the windshield. So I think it's a lot of time for him to reflect and, you know, kind of a zen thing to zone out even though he's driving and, you know, just, yeah, think about things, you know, and clear his mind.
Jim, I said it before and I'll say it again. I love the exercise. I love the commitment that he has to this. He's not wrapped up, and yeah, he's at a certain age too, but, you know, if you're our age, you have this compulsion to busy yourself,
mm-hmm.
And accomplish as much as possible and do as much with your day as you can and get all these things off your plate and move the ball forward or whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know, we only have so many days and hours and minutes, and I think I just feel like your dad has recognized that, hey, I'm still above ground here. Why don't I enjoy the scenery a little bit without having to focus on something or sit there and watch my favorite show, but also watch 7 commercials in a row
about
Verizon. And here I go upsetting
another possible sponsor.
Ram trucks and
Chili's.
I always wonder, you know, when you talk about football season coming up and some of these big games, I always wonder how somebody that's a big Ohio State fan, Alabama fan, Michigan fan, and they're 78, 80 years old, and they're having to be subjected to these. Some of them are funny, some, but like the AT&T commercials, the phone commercials, the trucks, the cars, the stuff, the noise, before they can just get back to the dang ball game, kickoff.
Yeah.
Maybe they're good at tuning that stuff out, but I'm not. I can't stand it.
It's tough. He just keeps a book in his lap pretty much, probably, and mutes the TV and reads the book while it's a commercial.
But yeah, but your dad just sitting out there alone. I think some people maybe have the same experience biking and going for a walk. I think there's some value. Of course, you know, this is a podcast, but folks, I really recommend if you take a walk, try it sometimes with no AirPods.
Oh my gosh. Nothing, whoa.
No music, no Dan time. Just listen to the birds and focus on nothing.
I mean, very topical. Have you heard of raw dogging that's on the news and on TikTok right now?
No, but I already like it.
It's a new trend where if you go on a plane, you to be raw dogging on the plane, you turn off all of your electronics and just look at the seat back in front of you. You don't even read or anything. Just spend the whole flight in reflection, which sounds like a nightmare to me.
Cincinnati, a month ago. Flying up to Cincinnati.
Did you do it? Did you raw dog the flight?
I didn't raw dog it, but I left my phone in my pocket. I think I had my laptop up above anyway. I put on Moneyball and put on the headphones, and that's all I did was I just focused. I just watched that movie. I didn't look at anything else.
Well, then you didn't. Then you didn't raw dog. Raw dog means nothing at all. Sorry. Go ahead.
I saw a guy. And it's kind of sad that you have to, like, take notice of this when you're out in public. But at a pizza restaurant, a guy sitting by himself with a medium or a smedium or a small pizza, and he just sat there and ate it. And he ate, and he looked around, and he was maybe 30 something.
Mm-hmm.
No other distractions, just enjoying his pie and his moment there. I also noticed at the airport just the compulsion of people in waiting areas to be fixated on their electronics.
Mm.
I'm like, this is a perfect time to just read a book. Or, I mean, maybe some people are reading them on devices, but anyway.
Did you pick up a newspaper and read it? Do they even make newspapers anymore?
I brought my Fletch Forever book.
That's great.
It's three novels in one book. It's the first Fletch film.
I love it.
And the book version is so much better.
Yeah.
A good bit darker as well. And then Confess Fletch and Fletch Forever.
Okay.
And so that's what I was reading. Just relaxing.
Yeah. Nice. I'm glad you had a good trip.
One thing I was observing, I think we really got to be careful about this. Because it's not like I'm just, like I don't use my devices like everybody else on the planet does. But we really got to start watching our posture.
Mm. Yeah, turn into hunchbacks.
I saw people also at the airport. You'll see this sometimes with guys our age, but also 14, 15-year-old dudes, you know, where they're just like hunched over in the worst way. Like, it's like, could you just bring that phone up a little bit? Mm. Just a little bit. They're like looking all the way down.
Yeah.
This is more too much of a soapbox here, but I feel like our culture, we're obsessed with what we're presenting out there, but we don't care about our necks. We don't care about what kind of damage.
We should definitely care more about our necks.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, gosh. Like,
all right, a couple more questions here.
Yeah, because we got a barbecue to go to.
July 4th, special memories that come up when you think of the 4th of July from when you were anywhere from 17 years old to 7 years old?
Oh, man. Well, when we moved to Birmingham, I guess I was about 7 or 8, and it was always, you know, we would go up to Shades Crest Road. We were members at Vestavia Baptist, so we could go up there and watch the fireworks. That was always really cool spot to be in, you know, just looking out over Shades Valley and watching the fireworks was great. And then, you know, we had firework wars when we were in high school where a couple of our friends got burnt, have scars to prove it from a Roman candle or two getting caught in their shirt. So that was really dumb. We were pretty stupid to do that, but that's a pretty prominent memory when it comes to the 4th. I'll also tell you, I don't believe it was on the 4th, but my sister was in Nashville going to get her doctorate and went up to visit her and her husband. And at the time, they were married. Anyways, their place they were living at wasn't big enough for us, so we stayed at the Embassy Suites in Nashville. And you know, Embassy Suites have those big open atriums, you know, you can look down. Just so happened that the days we were there, the night we were there, Lee Greenwood of I'm Proud to Be an American was having his wedding and wedding reception in the atrium at this Embassy Suites.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we looked down at Lee and his blushing bride at the time. You know, of course he serenaded her, but he did not sing I'm Proud to Be American, even though I shouted it a couple times. But because of that, I always tell people I was at Lee Greenwood's wedding. So there you go. How's that for a July 4th tie-in? Mm-hmm.
Like someone would shout a request at a concert?
Yeah, from like the...
At his wedding.
Yeah, from like the 12th floor, you know, just looking over the atrium. You know, I was probably like 13, 14, 15, so I thought everything I said was hilarious. And I was like, babe... Or sing Proud to Be an American. And, you know, kind of got a little bit of a chuckle. But I don't know if Lee even heard me, but he was pretty focused on his lady there. So, yeah, I was at Lee Greenwood's wedding. So there's your 4th of July tie-in. How's that for a memory?
Do you think that Lee Greenwood, of course, appreciates that people know him for that song, but do you think that he wishes that folks would have an easier recall of some of the other songs in his catalog? I mean, my gosh, the guy has released 4, 5, 6 albums.
No, I think Lee Greenwood's probably like, you remember Michael Caine, people dogged him out about being in Jaws 3, I think, or Jaws 4, and he says, yeah, they said, what did you think of the movie? He said, I never saw it, but it paid for this house you're sitting in. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure Lee sometimes wishes his whole catalog was more celebrated. But man, when it comes about this time of year and those royalty checks start flowing in, I think he's pretty happy. I mean, because that's a song that's played at every radio station this time of the year multiple times throughout the day. So he's probably happy with it. I don't think he's too disappointed.
Lee Greenwood has a record called His Best. So he actually does have enough tracks here to fill out a best of. I'm just going to read a few of them. They might come to mind. They might not.
Sure.
There's Hearts Aren't Made to Break. They're Made to Love.
Mm.
I Don't Mind the Thorns If You're the Rose. There's Don't Underestimate My Love for You.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. God Bless the USA, of course. Mm-hmm.
How many times is that on there?
Fool's Gold.
Fool's Gold.
Morning Ride. I always encourage people if, I don't always encourage people, what am I saying? But if there's an artist, it's the 4th of July, Lee Greenwood comes up, and you know that one song from that one person that they're famous for, get a little curious about what else do they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get on Spotify, check them out.
Okay, well, that's a great way to end.
What's another? Yeah, you got to go. I know. This has really been fun, Jim. You know, I would say we got to do this again sometime, but my gosh, we've done this about 7 times. Time to have some different flavor on this show. Maybe.
What? Oh my God, you're dogging me out as I'm still sitting here recording the podcast. You're kicking me out. I mean, you could get Kelly on and ask her about all the great things about me. But sorry, well, yes, real quick, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
All right, it is the first part of July. Prediction on the number of wins for the Cleveland Browns in 2024.
Oh, gosh. I think they're going to be 10-7, and they'll be a wild card. So pretty fall short of the Ravens, who will win the division, but I think they're going to have a pretty good year. I think Deshaun Watson finally is back into form, rounding into form. They got Jerry Jeudy to go along with Amari Cooper, so, and Nick Chubb hopefully will come back. Yeah, he's great. So hopefully Nick Chubb will come back from that devastating ACL of last year. So, yeah, I think 10-7.
If Deshaun somehow goes down in week 2 or 3 and he's out for several weeks, are you all of a sudden going to find yourself missing a certain quarterback?
Nope, not that I can think of. I wouldn't have any idea who you're speaking of. So I'm sure whoever our backup is will be capable of handing the ball to Nick Chubb and throwing 4-yard outs to Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy. So, nope, we should be fine. Won't miss anybody. No backup journeyman quarterbacks for us. Not elite quarterbacks.
I'm cutting that part out.
All right. Dan, I really got to go, though. They're my family sitting here staring at me, waiting for us to go.
That means it's been a great episode, and we have talked. We've given the people what they've asked for. Have a happy 4th of July, Jim.
Same to you, buddy.
And I will see you for the draft in about a month and a half.
Yes, sir. Can't wait. Happy 4th, Danimal.
Happy 4th. Thanks for listening, folks.